founder of the American Indian Movement, the national director of the movement, and of course, our gracious host for the day. So please welcome Clive.
Anishinaabe, Gichida, Free Fire Society, Gathering the Sacred Pipes, Sundance, American Indian Movement. My spirit name is Nigan Wewidan, which simply means the thunder before the storm. And I like that a lot better than Clyde. Remember the Crane clan of the great Anishinaabe Nation. And I'm also the head dancer for the Free Fire Society. Gichida, warrior. I'm very honored that you would come here and utilize a building here this afternoon. I want to give you just a little bit of history here about this building you're in. I was one of the founders and national directors of the American Indian Movement, which was founded in July 28, 1968. We felt that absolutely nothing was being done to upgrade the conditions that Indian people are forced to live under here in their own country. Nothing was being taught in the public and parochial school system of America about Indian people. But very little was taught today. Nothing was said about the contributions. Medical science, for instance, doctors have stated they haven't come up with a medicine yet that Indian people didn't have, used, and practiced. And this 4 years ago, I was down at a place called Teotihuacan in Mexico, where I heard for years Sundance, and people that would come up and Sundance with us up here, would tell me that they found evidence that Indian people were actually practicing brain surgery while the Spaniards were still living in caves over in Europe. I saw that. Saw that with my very eyes, little pinholes in the skull that were 5, 10, 20 years apart. We were able to go in and extract the pressures and poisons. And they were doing that while the Spaniards were living in caves over in Europe. They had running water that came into this. This was the oldest city known, Teotihuacan. 280,000 people lived in a modern metropolis. They had running water that came in. Fire theft into every one of those units. They showed me, they took and they pulled up stairs, my wife's two of these tables, where this water had come down into the city. And when it came up after it was all used and went back out, kind of out of the ground, the farmers would come in, they'd collect the feces and they'd go out and fertilize their gardens. They had running water when the Spaniards were living in caves over the Europe. So that's what we grew up in. That's what we were born into here in the city of Minneapolis. Some of the most atrocious, poverty-stricken conditions of anywhere in America is right here in Minneapolis. I know people are tight now, you know, 8.5%, 9% unemployment. Well, on Pine Ridge Reservation, 82% of the people are unemployed. My reservation with a big casino sitting in the backyard, 62% of our people are unemployed. For every white child born and lived in the United States, 3 of the children don't make it childbirth. We live to be 43.5 in white America, 65 plus. This was a major study that was done in 1968 by the American Indian Movement, commissioned by the President of the United States. For the first time in history, they allowed Indian people to go out and study our relationship with the United States government, federal relationship, and namely the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The largest and oldest bureaucracy in America, over 25,000 bureaucrats. For every dollar that's appropriated by Congress, which by the way is our money, all the gold in Fort Knox comes out of the bad lands. South Dakota, Pasapa to the Great Sioux Nation, their holy land. That's where their creation story begins. Comes through the oil and uranium, gas and timber. Everything that they have comes from Indian people. And out of every dollar that is appropriated by the Congress for the Bureau of Indian Affairs to fulfill their treaty obligations with Indian people, 90 cents of that dollar is used for administrative costs. We know about triple. Those were the conditions that existed. A little group of women, mostly women, and I want to emphasize that, mostly women, our greatest warriors, as we look at it. I was just elected to be their spokesperson, to go out and do the work, to knock the doors down when they wouldn't listen to our knock, to knock a little bit louder, they don't hear you, you knock it down, and you go in, but you got to have it together. You got to know exactly what you want, what changes. So here in the American Indian Movement, the only thing we hear about in media, they like to talk about Wounded Knee, demonstrations outside, football, baseball, stadiums. They don't hear about the American Indian Opportunities Industrialization Center. This is today, right here, that you're sitting here today, is the top job training program in the nation, and perhaps the world, as Dr. Leon Sullivan, the founder, co-founder of OIC's of America State when he came to visit us. I operate the Indian arm of OIC's. We've trained over 40,000 people in 32 years. We have taken something like 35,000 right off the welfare rolls and put them on payrolls. And how did we get it? In 1976, I found out there was millions of dollars coming into the city, millions of dollars appropriated by the state of Minnesota for British job training. But in the civil rights days, there was nothing but strictly a black and white issue. Indian people were totally forgotten. So after a 2-year study by the American Indian Movement, we found out exactly how much money was coming in. Who was benefiting from it? And I got together with some lawyers and I threatened to file a lawsuit to block all federal funds from coming into the state of Minnesota. All federal funds coming from the state legislature be blocked. Be blocked until they find, let us develop our own program to train our people, to take care of our children, keep our people out of the cardboard boxes outside the shadow of the churches here in America. Stopped everything. The black community called me, Dr. Leon Sullivan, asked me to come to Philadelphia. And I traveled there all by myself. All by myself. Tell me about this American Indian. You guys operate the occupied the Bureau of Indian Affairs. 3 months later, you took on the whole United States Army, the FBI, the Justice Department, over 18 different law enforcement agents, the Goon Squad, the Ku Klux Klan, the John Birch Society. You were surrounded by the first time in history. They used all the armed forces against the people here without congressional or presidential approval. I said, Dr. Sullivan, tell me about this. You want to know what kind of person I was? So you got some time? I got all the time you need. About my life. I told him I was one of 12 children. I told him I had a mother that was kidnapped when she was 9 years old, like hundreds and thousands all over America, and stuck in a boarding school run by the church, mostly the Catholic. Every time she got caught speaking Indian, wouldn't cut her hair, singing a song or praying in her own traditional tongue, they'd give her a toothbrush. Hundreds and thousands scrubbed floors, crippled her the rest of her life. Toward the end, they even tied sacks of marbles on her knees because she wouldn't give up her language and her culture and her traditional way of life. That crippled her. I told him about my father. When the First World War broke out, he was only 15, just turned 16 years old in Carlisle, 1,500 miles from home. They didn't care how old you are. You didn't have a birth certificate. You were born in some back in the woods, maybe in a teepee or a wigwam. Had Indian names. They didn't care how old you are, they drafted you. And my father didn't go across that water to kill people. Germany and other places. He went out there to get out of that brutal education system. It was a machine gun, 17 wounds, gassed and bloated. When the Allied forces came in, he crawled under. They gassed him, they shot him. Thought he was dead, and he could hear people coming. Germans come before they vacated the prison camp, shooting those that were wiggling a little bit in the head. So him and others crawl under the dead bodies. It was quiet for a long time, he said, several hours, and all of a sudden there was tanks and other vehicles come in. They were loading them up and they brought him there. Came home. Wasn't even allowed to be buried. Cemetery at Weather Chippewa Reservation, which I found out many years after the movement formed, was given to them by my grandmother to run an orphanage in the church there. And I got through talking to Dr. Sullivan. He had 6'9", 280 pounds. He had his head in his knees and he was crying. Stood up and braced me and said, by the end of this year, we're going to have an Indian arm of OISCs of America, and this young man to take care of it. This is where we're at today. But 18 months ago, Nancy Pelosi came to visit us here. Right before she gave up the gavel. She said, this is one of the best, the top training programs in America. When she left, she had a big press conference. All the leadership, the governor and the mayor, the city council, everybody was here in this building. What can I do for you? Get us some money. Get us some money. Oh, I don't know, in these economic times, I'm losing it in the gavel here in a couple of months. But I'll see what I can do. Lo and behold, 2 months later, we got a $5 billion grant to train young people. No matter what happens, we need health services. But that's what we do here. We train young people in health professions. And then, following that, Secretary of Labor, Hispanic, Chicano, came to visit us. It's about the top job training program in the nation. We did an audit on you. You owe me $164 now. I was going to write her a check. She said, oh, no, don't do that. Guess what the money was for? We spent it to go get some food and cup food and feed students. What can we do? What else can I do? Give us another $5 million. Here we go, a month and a half later, we train people in the computer industry for the health. All of your records are going to be on the computer today, and they're not prepared for it. That's what we do here. That's what we do here. Oh, that Clyde Falconi condemns the federal government, condemns the FBI, condemns the FBI, went to wound and knee, took up arms, all this stuff. But he sure loves the money. It chuckles me because I tell him, you know what I tell him? It's our money. It's our money, all of our gold in Fort Knox is ours. And I said, we just want a little bit back. So I want to give you that. I want to give you that. When we opened up the center, I said, I want this doors open in the evenings and on weekends and whenever. So they can come in and have ceremonies and dances and feasts and political issues can be taught. Training can go on here all the time. So I welcome you. I welcome you here. It's an honor. It's an honor to have you. You're here. I know why you're here. I've been part of that. We put the government on trial for 9.5 months in 1974. They were trying to convict us. Trying to put you away for 300 years plus 2 life sentences. So we know all about governmental misconduct. We know all about illegal use of military, illegal search and seizure, infiltration, disruption. We had federal agents right within inside of Wounded Knee with us. Indians. People are nodding and dead, their hair black, and put headbands on, feathers in their hair. Got in there. Exposed every single one of them. All the charges, sure enough, 9.5 months later, the judge threw out all the charges. said the rivers of justice have been muddied in my courtroom for 9.5 months, and I refuse to allow it to go any further. And he threw everything out. So I want to welcome you here. You don't have to put up any more posters. You got all the time in the world. Believe me. We got all the time in the world, because we're going to sit down and deliberate something that's very important to each and every one of you and to your children. So don't try to put a cap on somebody. If they got something important to say, let them say it. And if it takes another hour, 2 hours to get a decision made, make it. Don't go out of here and go home and say, oh, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have asked this question. That's the way we don't operate that way in the community. We had meetings that lasted 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. But we made our decision. When we made our decision to go to Moonanea, go to Washington, D.C., maybe occupy the Bureau of Indian, go down, knock the city council door down, talk to the mayor, confront the police when they're handcuffing our people, the light poles here in 1968, because they didn't have a room in a squad car. So we went down and dealt with it. And we were put on that hit list. That bad Edgar Hoover's hit list. We were number 3. You know why? 75% of all the energy resources left in America is still on our land. 90% of all the fresh water left through this northern watershed is on our land. That's why it's important. We have to put a stop, not just to the oppression and governmental misconduct, but the continued theft. If you don't do it, you're going to be the new Indians.